This is Decatur Today on News Radio 101 FM. Jeff Daly sliding behind the microphone for another hour. It is the lunch hour. I'll be with you until 1 this afternoon. Of course, as always, the Ramsey Show coming your way after that. We have a great weekend lineup for you, as you just heard, with Handle on the Law on Saturdays and Sundays, too, so don't always forget about that. Right now, though, always good to be able to run off to the phone lines and catch up with Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints. You can find WirePoints online at wirepoints.org. Also, sign up and get the latest news delivered to your email inbox on a regular basis. Good afternoon, my friend. We've warmed up a little bit in the Midwest and throughout the country, apparently. Always a plus, right?
Yeah, it's a lot better. Yeah, it's a lot easier to handle.
I don't know.
I like the cold and I like the snow, so it's okay.
Well, see, you're good. You're covered then, because we've been covered. But we actually had some pretty significant ice here on Monday, and I think we're finally all started. We're all thawed out now at this point.
There
but
you
it's,
go.
Now it's just foggy and gray and gross. So welcome to January in the Midwest. All right, off and running we go again. You can find WirePoints online at wirepoints.org. The governor continues to just talk about immigration, illegal immigration here in the state of Illinois, but the funding is all coming out of our pockets, but he's not even being able to really tell the whole truth or tell the whole story about it, right?
Well, yeah, there's so much to it, right? And it's a growing problem. It's a huge problem. It's much bigger than just the 35,000 immigrants who have been sent here on buses. You know, when you look at the numbers, there's some 10 million people who've crossed the border since Biden changed policies and since he took office. And so many of those find their way to Illinois, right? We're going to get our share. So the number dwarfs the 35,000. You know, and there's much more to the cost than just the asylees. You know, there's Medicaid and healthcare costs that are going to those undocumented. You got education costs. You got all kinds of things. And you know, I think we need to be honest and real about what's happening and not try to downplay it as the governor often does.
Well, and I'm disappointed because I had a story yesterday that was being championed by our own very own state senator Chapin Rose. Republicans here in the state of Illinois have basically sent a letter to the governor to reverse course on plans to reduce service hours for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities who live in group homes. Because basically they're eliminating the funding for that, but we have all this funding for migrants.
Well, yeah, we're working on a piece of WirePoints. We're trying to add up all the costs because again, nobody really knows what it's costing. You know, you got federal money, state money, city money, and it's just not very transparent.
No.
And people want transparency. When you start to add up all the numbers, you're starting to get into the, you know, $1 billion, $2 billion that are being spent on people who are not from Chicago, not from Illinois. They're not American citizens. And again, I'm pro immigration because my parents were immigrants.
Right.
But we're talking about this open border policy, which is just letting people flood in. And so people don't know. And so here we are with tax problems in Illinois, out migration problems in Illinois. You've got poverty in Illinois. You've got, you know, unemployment rate that's higher than the rest of the country, especially for blacks. And yet we are spending billions and now close to $2 billion on, and there's many other costs as well, on these people who are here illegally, and we're not honest about it.
No, they're not honest about it, and unfortunately, there's the media in a lot of sectors, not here, but in a lot of other places, are complicit in this because they just don't even bother asking the questions at this point.
Yeah, and you know, and if you ask the question, you got to push back and re-ask the question and re-ask the question.
Right,
not real answers. So,
right, as always, we're visiting with Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints on News Radio 101 FM. Speaking of tax burdens, Illinois' individual income tax has had a pretty decent effect on the overall high tax burden, but you're saying it's been gradually worn down over the years. What does that mean exactly?
Well, you know, it was, you know, we've only had a state income tax on individuals since like 1970, 1969 to be precise. And it used to be, you know, it used to be 3% and flat. And, you know, flat was good in that it wasn't progressive. A lot of states have these taxes go, the more you make, the higher tax rates you pay. So the only redeeming feature, you know, we've talked about how high Illinois' property taxes are, second highest in the country. Gas taxes, second highest in the country. Our sales taxes are among the highest in the country. Cell phone taxes, highest in the country. So the only good tax that we kind of had left was this kind of a low, flat income tax. Well, you know, we hiked that tax, or we, I should say we, our legislators hiked it in a few years ago and hiked it to 495. And in the meantime, states across the country are lowering all their rates. And so we used to be competitive with that income tax rate, but now all of our neighbors are, I shouldn't say all, almost all of our neighbors are lower than we are. Many of them are moving to flat taxes as well. Other states are going to zero income tax rates. And so, shoot, you know, the one redeeming tax feature we had is disappearing. You know, we're just less and less competitive.
Yeah, and so, and that's going to lead to what we've seen over the course of the past 10 plus years. You're going to see more and more people fleeing the state of Illinois because of the burden when they can go elsewhere and, you know, pay less in taxes on an annual basis. It's just not a good mix to want to keep attracting and, or to keep people here in the state, but also attract people to come to the state.
Well, I always have to remind, you know, Indiana has like much lower property tax rates, like a third of what we pay here. You know, and I always have to remind people that in Indiana, they also have paved roads and public schools.
Right.
So, you know, this is what we're competing against, and people know it. So, you know, it's we need to make a real big push to actually think differently. You know, Pritzker wants to do a progressive tax, you know, which means have higher and higher rates and raise them. When in actuality, we should be thinking about to compete with Texas and Florida and others who have zero income tax rates. Don't tax income. Right, tax consumption, but don't tax income. Don't tax hard work. And that's been the success for quite a few states, including Tennessee, for example.
Oh, without question. And getting back to property taxes alone, if you take a look at your property tax bill and look at the highest taxing bodies that you're paying to, you'll discover probably to a county, to each and every one, the highest portion of your property tax bill goes towards education and public schools, which is why, you know, you guys have done such a great job of highlighting, unfortunately, the failures in educating our kids at these public schools, even though we're paying the most amount of money to support those institutions.
Yeah, and that's the big problem. Look, you know, again, sorry to complain, but...
Right, it's not like we want to, but we've got to point it out.
Right, and if the data said something different, we'd show it. But, you know, we're back to second highest property taxes, and yet our kids can't read, right? And then today we put out a piece that showed that we've lost 250,000 public school students in the last decade. And, you know, that's the second biggest drop in the country.
That's so, and I saw that. Where did they go?
Well, you know, well, all you need to do is look at places like Texas, Florida, Tennessee. I mean, you see their student populations balloon. You know, Texas grew by 500,000. So, you know, there's a lot of growth in other places, and they're going from here and going there.
But unfortunately, you know, you have the teachers' unions, the Illinois Education Association specifically, and the Chicago teachers' unions all screaming for more money, even though they're teaching less students here in the state. It makes a lot of sense to those of us on the outside, right?
Yeah, and this is why I just wish we'd acknowledge the problem, because then we can start to say, what should we do about it? But when our leaders don't acknowledge the problem, then we can't discuss solutions, because they're either ignoring it or hiding it. And you know, that's not a winning formula. People aren't dumb, right? But they can easily move, and that's what we're seeing.
Absolutely right. Again, we're visiting with Ted Dabrowski. He's the president of WirePoints. You can find WirePoints online at wirepoints.org. This has been kind of kicking around for a long time, but I believe the U.S. or the Illinois Supreme Court has finally approved some local pension management, bringing everything together under one roof, as opposed to having a hodgepodge kind of patchwork quilt look at these pensions, which seems to be have some benefits, but it doesn't seem to go a long way in the way of savings. Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, pensions, my gosh, I can imagine, you know, your listeners going, wow, who wants to talk about pensions? How boring. But they are a big part of our, we just talked about taxes. What's driving those tax bills? Pensions is a huge issue, right? It's one of the biggest things that are driving our taxes, property taxes, you know, police and fire, and then, of course, income taxes for schools and all that. So people should care. Right. So there was this one, and what I don't want people to be confused by the news they hear. So there's 650 different pension funds in Illinois that cover police and fire. And each one was an individual fund, and they still are. But a new law, recently just combined all the money, so at least they would invest in mass together rather than 650 different investments going on. And so that's kind of, it's good. It makes sense, right? You get, economies of scale. But nobody should think that was like pension reform. We didn't change the pension problem. All we're doing is investing a little bit better. But, we didn't change the whole monster of pensions and the debts and all that. That's all still there. So don't think that was an actual reform. If you hear somebody in the government say, hey, look at the great things we did, it's peanuts.
Oh, yeah. No, in the grand scheme of things, the pension crisis here in the state is horrible, and it's just not going to get any better anytime in the near future, unfortunately. And it's all, in the end, it's going to come out of our pockets as taxpayers.
That's right. I mean, it's a huge issue.
Moving on, I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I wanted to talk more about it with you today. Obviously, last fall, during the fall veto session, the legislature failed to take up any kind of extension for the Invest in Kids program, and so effectively killed it at the end of the year. And now we have our first two casualties, which we knew was going to come, from a couple of Catholic schools up in the Chicago area that are being forced to close because of the program going away. And now, not only are those kids those educational institutions being put out of business, these kids are now going to be stuck going to failing schools in the Chicago area.
That's right. So, this is the backdrop, of course, is what you mentioned, that the Invest in Kids Act was killed. So these tax scholarships, that these kids had, over 9,000 kids across the state, 160 something in Cicero and Berwyn, the two Catholic schools we're talking about now. That's the backdrop. They've killed the scholarship program. And then you've got Brandon Johnson in Chicago trying to kill off the best Chicago schools, the selective enrollment schools and the magnet schools. So you've got this really anti-school choice movement going on in Illinois. And unsurprisingly, a couple Catholic schools are some of the ones being hurt by this. Now, listen, Catholic schools on their own have had their own troubles for decades, right? They've been shrinking the population. But, the whole point of having school choice is that all kinds of schools can thrive. I'm not here to defend any kind of school. I want to defend the kids and their choice to find the schools that they want. And when we kill choices, we're killing other schools. And guess what? The only schools that are going to be left around are this monopoly-run, teacher union-run public schools. And you look at the results in Cicero and Berwyn, where those schools were closing. And again, most kids can't read at grade level. Most kids can't do math at grade level. And there's just not the right values system in these schools. So it's a tough, tough situation for Illinois. Don't be surprised if more people don't leave.
Oh, without a question, because they're going to, especially those who have kids that are going to be coming of age and going into school, guarantee you there are parents out having this discussion over the dinner table at night. And the bad part is it's an all-out war on choice. It's an all-out war on education, because they want all the power. They want to maintain. They want all the money. They want all the power. And they want to be able to tell your kids and you parents what to do when it comes to where you get your kids educated. And people are going to vote with their feet, and they're going to leave. Unfortunately, the only people really, truly being punished and penalized for this are the kids.
That's right. And so, all this great news that we've just talked about, it has a lot to do for the listeners of this show. Get engaged and find out people who are supporting the bad policy. You have to find what policy you like, but you have to, if you want Illinois to thrive and grow, then we have to reverse a lot of these bad policies that are being going on.
Without a question. It's a pleasure as always. Where can folks find you, and how can they sign up for the daily newsletter?
Yeah, please go to wirepoints.org. You'll see a pop-up that gives you a sign-up, and go to @wirepoints to look at our social media stuff that we try to have fun with.
Always a pleasure, sir. Have a great rest of the week. Enjoy your winter. I didn't know you were a big cold fan. That's pretty fun.
I like my spring and summer, too, but I do enjoy the cold.
Always great, Ted. Take care, be safe, and we'll catch up again soon.
All Thank you, sir.
Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints on News Radio 101 FM. Always good to catch up with Ted. WirePoints.org, again, is the website for the latest news and information. You get all the top Illinois stories. You get the top Chicago area stories. You get their great commentary and research that he and Mark Glennon and the rest of the crew there do. It really is a great resource if you want to know about what's going on and staying educated and, you know, getting, you know, kind of the unvarnished look at what's happening in the state from a lot of different news sources. WirePoints.org, I highly recommend it.